Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Front page on the Sunday paper. Again, I'm quoting the papers here. But Ken Burns with a Muhammad Ali movie. That's going to be interesting, because he does good work. So we'll look forward to seeing that. I wonder when that comes out. Is that out now? It's out now, I guess. Four-part documentary. That Ken Burns, he does nice work. All right, Nick said he had something to do before we got to text. I don't know what that is. So I'm in the dark, as you are. So what is he going to do? What are we doing?
Okay, so, sorry, I'm eating.
You're eating for starters. No, there we go. Okay. There we go. Back on brand.
Did not mean to do this. Give me one second.
The COVID-19 has spread to Atlanta's gorillas. How about that?
Oh, that's a gorillas.
13 gorillas have tested positive for COVID-19. Including 60-year-old Ozzy, which I can't say I'm surprised, because Ozzy, despite his age, has been marching around the park with anti-vax signs, claiming, you know, I'm down with tyranny. Should be my choice.
Isn't Ozzy QAnon? I don't remember. I feel like he was part of the group. I don't know. Anyway, sorry, I was taking a bite. The Janet
got a crime.
Shout out to Janet. She brought She brought some chicken tikka masala. Trying to eat a little healthy here.
Oh, well, she made that for us. It was damned tasty.
It is pretty good. So she brought
that's
some.
That's one of her favorite dishes that she makes.
Yeah, it was tasty. Yeah. It's very tasty.
No, so, it's fine. Go ahead.
Relatively healthy. I'm eating that for lunch. So I was eating a piece of broccoli. Sorry, but. We got to discussing McDonald's, and Process, as I was walking by, said, asked me verbatim, who's your favorite McDonald's character? And I originally said Grimace. And then he said, I like the Hamburglar because he's a renegade in that world and renegades are sexy. And I was like, okay, fair enough. Then I changed mine because I like the little McNugget guys. The little McNuggets, like, they would fly planes and parachute, and they did a whole lot of stuff without any limbs, and they were funny. If I had to rank him, it'd go Nuggets and then maybe Grimace, and I don't know who the third one is. Then we got to discussing just what the hell Grimace is, or what was he related to? Because the little pom-pom dudes were called Fry Guys. So they represented the French fries. And then I don't know what Birdie represented. I think it was the quick service of McDonald's. Mayor McCheese obviously had head of a burger, so he was a burger. The Hamburglar represented burgers and trying to steal them. What the McNuggets, self-explanatory. What the hell was Grimace? And then Patty
Grimace,
Ice.
Oddly, I know what Grimace
Patty
was.
Patty Ice with the answer.
No, well, this is what I'd heard. A Grimace was the facial expression when you've got some McDonald's and you bought it on the highway and you went through the drive-thru, like on one of the interstates, like, you know, 65 or 75 or 95 or whatever, and then you realize the next exit is not till 37 miles. And let's put it this way. Those Nuggets were trying to race right through the raceway, if you know what I'm saying. That's the so then you had what did you have? You had a Grimace. So that's not the real answer.
No, it is not. Patty Ice is actually behind me. He will educate. This was I heard the question, but I didn't get the whole thing. I was racing to work when they were doing Stump the Gas Bag this past week. By the way, our guy Keith Pointer says that Hamburglar is a UK football fan. I don't know if that's like an inside joke or if he honestly is. But yeah, Keith, elaborate on that, Esquire. But Patty Ice with a little We Want to Know Wednesday on a Monday with the answer. Patty, I'm handing you the headset. Who, what the hell is Grimace?
So last week, a McDonald's spokesperson came out, because what I do, Bob, for Stump the Gas Bag, is I find this stuff directly off Twitter, okay?
Sure. And, you can't trust Twitter, good Lord.
Well, no, I mean, it was like this was actually on the Explore Entertainment tab, and this was Pop Culture This Week, and it was also on the Today Show website, so I knew this thing was legit.
Okay.
So essentially what happened was that for the longest time, people wanted to know what the hell the purple thing is at McDonald's, right?
Sure.
And so essentially, you know, they got I can't remember how this whole thing came to be, but a spokesperson in the McDonald's in Canada, the person that runs all the McDonald's in Canada's, okay, corporate-wise, said, look, he let the cat out of the bag. I don't think he was supposed to, but said he's a taste bud. And essentially, he's supposed to be the round and happy character that indulges your taste buds. And I guess that's like he's supposed to be the spirit of the taste of McDonald's.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Well, it's. I think it's safe to say they clearly missed the mark with that. But okay.
Well, why is he red? Why is he not red? Like, why the hell is he purple?
Well, that's exactly. I mean, maybe the model they used was like, you know, they got it from a corpse from like one of the morgue. I mean, seriously, why would the guy's tongue be blue? That's awful. I agree with you. So yeah, they listen, swing and a miss there. That's okay. It happens. Got fastball in the corner. Tried to catch up with it. Couldn't do it. Swing and a miss. So I mean, you know, taste bud. That's crazy. Or if that were the case, his name should have been Bud. That would have made sense.
Oh yeah,
then.
Bud. Well, no, but no. Bud. No, they couldn't have done Bud.
Why?
Because weed. It would have, about, you know.
Oh my God!
I'm just saying. Look, I mean, come on. We live in a society where, I mean, we still can't get weed legal in this Commonwealth. I mean, imagine 60 or I don't know how long, 60s, 70s, whenever I don't know when Grimace was born, but can you imagine like the backlash there would have been with that?
Bud really would have caused the problem.
I guarantee you that would have been, I grew up in the
throes of the drug era, and I don't think that would have caused a furor if you'd named him Bud. I mean, sorry.
Oh.
But okay.
Well, Keith elaborated on that joke. Ha ha ha. I can't believe I didn't get that. I think maybe
Grimace, I always thought Grimace is associated with something painful. I always thought that was odd.
Yeah, I thought he started as sort of like another antagonist. Like I thought it was like him and Hamburglar were, you know, trying to take over and eat Mayor McCheese, or I don't know, kidnap Birdie or murder Ronald McDonald. I have no idea. But yeah, I kind of thought that maybe he started off as a bad guy and then became...
Give one of your characters a name, I don't know, like Pusswort or something. I mean,
I still
kind
of like Grimace because I always thought that he was the unsung muscle of the McDonald's guys. Like, you know, if things were kind of getting weird or the Burger King kids were getting a little too chesty, you know, he'd send Grimace over there and be like, hey, he'd regulate a little bit, you know what I'm saying? But I do think if they would have made him red... They might have had a little backlash from Big Red, Western's mascot. Because seriously, they would have looked very, very much alike. Very much alike.
Hmm. It's the painful world of trying to find appropriate names and mascots. So there you go.
Also, Process randomly shouted at me and said, remember, Nick, no one in history has a better shooting percentage than John Wilkes Booth. And I was just walked away at that point. Text messages here, 437-9680. UPS jobs text line, a lot of good ones in hour one, and they're still coming in here, so I want to definitely get to these and get your thoughts on this. Our buddy Samson passed this along, said you can't let the cake bake if you don't have the right ingredients to make the damn cake.
Well, I gotta agree that's a legitimate observation. If you are looking at this and you've decided right now that, hey, listen, I'm trying to make a carrot cake. I have no flour. I have no carrots. I have no butter. Well, yes, then you're right. Then you don't have to let it bake. But I don't know that. It may just be a tad too soon to say that. We'll see. But I get that. That's a very legitimate observation, is to say, you know, I get it. It hasn't been in the oven long enough, but I know you can't make a cake without eggs and flour, and we don't have those. So if that's the case, but I just, it may be a little soon to say that is what I'm suggesting. I don't know. We'll see. But if you've reached that conclusion, look, I see what we got. We don't have eggs. We have no flour. Then, yes, you're right. That cake is not going to come out to your liking. But
if you don't make a cake, but you manage to make a nice pie with what you have, is that a compliment to the chef, or is that like, no, we want cake? Anywho, 437-968 a UPS Jobs text line. Crazy stat from college football, this texter says. Both Oklahoma and Western Carolina each had 13 receivers catch passes during their matchup against one another this past weekend. The only difference was Oklahoma scored 76 points. Western Carolina scored a big goose egg, but a whole lot of
this is courtesy of John Salzman, and I think I've got this right. Maybe you remember the number, Nick, with Trevor Lawrence. I believe it's now 14 consecutive quarterbacks taken as number one overall in the draft have lost their first game when they went to the NFL. 14 consecutive. And what I would suggest is we shouldn't be as surprised as that, because A, if they're being selected first, that means the team was deplorable the year before, obviously. And B, if they are also earning the starting nod right out of the chute, chances are they don't have very much to work with. So, it's not common that team's going to take a quarterback first overall, be coming off a great year and have plenty of resources. They probably it's a pretty empty cupboard. So I'm not trying to explain away for all of those quarterbacks, but that's hard to believe. If you've got a quarterback taken number one in the draft, that guy's first game in the NFL, they've lost now 14 consecutive times, and Trevor Lawrence adds to that, as they didn't come particularly close in their opener yesterday. So there you go. That's another little. That's courtesy of Johnny Sales.
Johnny Sales. There you go. I got to hit the sounder. There you go. Oh, I didn't even realize I hit that. That was a. You can click it with the little scroll wheel. Interesting. 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. Just a reminder, EKU is now FBS. They joined the Sun Belt. You're right. That was my mistake earlier. I called them FBS team.
Oh, that's true. I said that myself.
That's a good point. That was a good point, Dexter. UofL football. Problem. This one just came in. I was going to read a couple more, but this one just came in. It's a good one. UofL football. Problem. I can't speak. Sorry. Problem list in order. Number one, offensive line. Number two, one-star recruits. Number three, play calling. Number four, announcer, music, concessions, seats. Number five, poor coaching leadership. No energy, no passion, no confidence, no innovation, no regard for fans, alumni, or the city.
And oh, my God.
And six, the overall product is simply not much fun.
Here's the 2-0 pitch. It's a fastball right down the middle. Oh, my God, he has unloaded on that one. That ball's driven deep into the alley. Yikes!
That was all of.
Did he leave anything out? Did he like the uniforms at least?
I gotta be Texter. I challenge you to say something nice, to come up with six good things about the program. I don't think he's wrong though. I mean, I'm going through that list, and that seems to be the relative consensus among people. Maybe the poor coaching leadership. Texter did say that earlier, I'm not sure I can find it. Sorry, there's a lot coming in here. A texter did say that he wasn't impressed with Satterfield's press conference today, which you heard live on ESPN Louisville, courtesy of our friends at UofL Health, making the impossible possible. That's the power of you. I meant to pass
specifically was he not impressed by?
He didn't like the energy.
Or what?
No, he didn't like the energy in it, and he didn't like that. I think it was Ken Taylor that asked the question that, hey, look, you get to play Friday. This is two games in the first 3 weeks where you basically get the spotlight to yourself. The Ole Miss game, and now you have a big game in UCF on Friday. And he kind of said, yeah, Friday is for high school football. And yeah. He didn't really like that. He didn't really like that response.
I'll be honest, I didn't love that answer either. I mean, but that's a diplomatic answer, though. These guys, the high school football coaches, I'm a product of my environment. If you think college football was not a big deal, high school football is even less in Long Island. I mean, not that it was not important or significant. People paid attention. The papers covered it. Long Island Championship. I went to see playoff games. But my point is, in some parts of the country, you're trying to make an impression, and I don't think he wants a reputation. Somebody would report to some of the great high schools that, the coach at Louisville came out and said, yeah, Friday, man, that's where we want to be, because these high school guys would say, hey, stay in your lane. Friday's for us, pal. So I think that was as much a diplomatic answer as anything else. But you're right. I would have been you could have tried to not trod on the high school guys and still, as you said, been a little excited about that. Hey, you got a chance to play on national television. Yeah, we really want to get out there. And, that's I get it. I get what the list is. But we're splitting hairs now because people are just not happy. There's no getting around it.
No.
They're just there's just It's really I feel for the Louisville fans who are just and just staring at it. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? They got to start their basketball season with their coach on the sidelines. The football isn't generating much energy. If you just joined us, we talked at the top about the experience at the game. And I'm sorry, I'm not, you know, U of L. I love the university. They've been great to me. I'm rooting for them. So if you're a U of L person, I mean, why don't you stop talking? No, that's your job. You got to talk about what the reality is. And the reality is the athletic director had to write a letter to the fans saying, I'm sorry, because it was such a mess that, I mean, a couple of good friends of ours left at halftime. They said, we waited 25 minutes for a beer. We'd hardly saw any of the first half because we stood in line. It was packed out there. There was only like one concession stand open, and it was shorthanded, and they had technical problems with the computer, and it was just a bad experience, a bad fan experience. You know, I get it. Like I said, it's a difficult thing to talk about because we you know, everybody is they want you to, it's kind of, you know, we'll join hands and say we're all in this together. But the fact of the matter is they charge professional level prices. And with professional level prices being asked, the fans expect professional level treatment. And it was, you know, anything but. So it was a disharmonious first home game. There's no question.
437-9680 UPS jobs text line. Got some positives here. One guy who came up with the list said six things he did like. Did like the alley, the new tailgating spot that they opened.
Okay, good.
And the five beers he drank throughout the day.
That's like, well, it's like when you were in elementary school and you had to write that, you know, 500-word essay, and you were getting to the end and you ran out of ideas, and so you ended it with, you know, I think this was a very, 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 very important era in, you know, in U.S. history or U.S. relations.
It was an important book to read, and read it I did, this important book that was very important.
It was very important to read, yes. So there we go.
That was awesome.
Give it back to him with a red mark on it. Not what we meant. Go back and rework this.
Another texter says, hey, positive note, Louisville was spelled correctly on the uniform.
That's a great point. That is, we've had some bizarre things. How the hell does a guy get a uniform with the name is?
My buddy Anthony Stobble, shout out to the alma mater, Silver Creek, baby, listening and said that he heard on Bob and Tom. First off, why are you listening to Bob and Tom? Why aren't you listening to us, Anthony? No, I'm just kidding. I love Bob and Tom. He said that the two of them were in fierce support that Grimace was actually a milkshake. So I don't know, even though he's purple and there's no purple milkshakes, but they were arguing that Grimace was a milkshake. I don't know, but he does concede the point that, you know, he was like, okay, maybe he's a taste bud, but that other show up the road, I'm just kidding, Bob and Tom are nice. They said that he's a milkshake, and I think I. Yeah, Bob used to come to Fuzzy's Elders thing.
Great.
Yeah, he's a nice
thing.
Guy. Yeah, he's
Tom
a nice
never
guy.
Did, but yeah. I'm told Bob told me that they were playing once and Tom threw his clubs in the lake and never played again.
Oh, really? So, that's funny.
Could just be a funny story. I don't know, but Bob's a hell of a nice guy, really good guy.
As a U of L fan,
I gotta go look at another picture of Grimace right now. First of all, the name does tick me off because with the Cavalier with.
I like him. I've always liked Grimace, but no, he basically looks like a giant gumdrop. Like, it's not like he's not one giant blob. He kind of, I think he kind of, you know, tapers off to the head. He's sort of like a round triangle, if I remember correctly. And his arms are kind of in front of him.
He looks like a drop. He looks like a raindrop. A purple raindrop. But I don't understand if he's supposed to be a shake. That doesn't make sense because he's purple. So that doesn't
maybe
make sense.
Maybe he had milkshakes. I don't know. 437-9680 UPS jobs text line. As a U of L fan, it's gotten to the point where wearing a cup doesn't even make a difference anymore due to the repeated kicks in the balls.
well, okay. That's a different take. Not sure how to respond to that, but go ahead.
Let's talk about a UK mole. We haven't got to that yet. Let's see here. 437-968 UPS jobs text line. Shoot. Oh, yeah. This texter's saying that it's week four when they released the first college football playoff rankings.
Yeah, the playoff rankings, but, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Kentucky's not going to the playoffs, probably, and Louisville's certainly not going to the playoffs. So you just want to know kind of where they stand relative to nationally. And you know, they make such a big deal about these rankings, even though there's only four teams that make a difference. So, yeah, so why, you know, why rank them at all if that's the case? Because people make too big a deal. I mean, that it's – I don't know. Like I said, it irritates me. I'm so sorry for the people who just adore it, but it irritates me because they celebrate their irrationality, and that's what bothers me. In other words, if you wanted to, in the middle of the NBA season, they do them. ESPN does them every week, as do a number of other websites. They do power rankings for the NBA. They got power rankings right now for Major League Baseball. Fun. You talk about, I think they're better than them. I think they're better than them. That's fine. But nobody in their right mind, even the people writing these power rankings, thinks that they have anything to do with who's going to be in the postseason or, you know, in football, who's going to go to the big money bowl games. You know, it's not like teams are going to get playoff berths because of what ESPN or Fox or whoever, it's sporting, you know, Yahoo or whatever, put in these polls. But football, man, they take them so seriously. It's everything is so life and death serious, and it doesn't make any sense. They rank them before they play a game, and those rankings are taken seriously. Not like, hey, this is fun. Let's just see who we think is going to be good. There's no question, if you look at those preseason rankings, you are going to get a pretty good feel for what teams they quote-unquote are going to allow to be in the discussion to be in the playoff. I mean, that's the reality of it. If they're not in that high level, they could win every game 60-0, and they'll be, oh, rats, just missed it. You know, they'll get to play maybe in a decent bowl game, but they ain't getting in the playoffs, and that's – it's just – and, you know, and then they pass that off as, like, logical. So, yeah, I get it. The playoff thing isn't going to come up until the fourth week. But, you know, people talking about should Kentucky be ranked high or should there's not enough. Wait for the people to play games, and then let's decide who's good.
This texter.
That's what I'm suggesting.
This texter saying that LMAO, UK beats an 11th-ranked team in the final minutes of the fourth quarter, and everyone clamors for a top 25. It's insane. 11th-ranked in the SEC.
I was going to say 11th ranked. If they beat the number 11 team in the country, yes, they should be ranked. But no, I mean, it is the nature of the fan right now. And to some degree, it's okay because that's why we exist, sports radio. They're referring to it now, Overreaction Monday. And so that's part of the fun. But it's just, and when you take yourself too seriously, you take the fun out of it. And college football takes itself way too seriously. But they feel they have to because they have all the money.
This is funny. Our buddy Illini Ike saying the number one positive, the U of L cheerleaders are absolutely spectacular, especially hair.
Are they a lovely bunch of lasses this year?
Well, I don't know, but they you know, all the flips and stuff they do are rather impressive. But Ike says he really likes their hair. So
They wear their hair collectively the same way. For different games. I noticed that at basketball. Sometimes it's down, sometimes it's back in a pony, but they all do it the same way. It's unified hair wearing approach.
4379 unified hair wearing
approach.
That's a unique acronym. 4379680 UPS jobs text line. This texter says, I like their helmets. There you go. Another positive.
Very good.
This guy says, not sure if this is correct, but I thought Grimace used to be a bad guy and would steal milkshakes. So maybe he started. Maybe he was created
there
to be a taste bud. And then they said, wow, we woefully missed the mark on this. Let's make him a villain. And we need somebody to there's no milkshakes involved. Let's have him steal a milkshake because we have the Fry Guys. We have Birdie, which I still don't really know what she was doing. Maybe she was supposed to promote the chicken they had. I don't know, in a weird, dark sort of way. The Nuggets represented the Nuggets. The Fry Guys were the fries. Ronald was the mascot. Hamburglar, Mayor McCheese were the burgers. I feel like there were other characters. I remember reading an online thing about it.
All right. Originally, Grimace was known as the Evil Grimace, a milkshake-stealing monster with four arms and a bad attitude. That version of the character debuted in 1971 and spent several years as Ronald's foil. But then I guess they realized, how many bad guys do we need? Because you got the Hamburglar, and now you got this guy.
Were any of them good guys, or was like, you know, was Ronald like fighting them? Like, what was he doing? Was he just trying
spent
to?
Several years as Ronald's foil.
Was it like real gritty? Like
this was well before my time, and I got to tell you, seeing an extra armed dink head version, I'll clean that up, of Grimace would have totally blown my mind as a kid. The evil Grimace even starred in several McDonald's commercials during the 70s. Oh, but he is. He's evil looking. His eyes are much bigger. He's got a, ooh. He was singularly focused on milkshakes. In a pinch, he'd be satisfied just swiping empty milkshake cups for McDonald's.
So that makes him kind of like a junkie. Like he was, you know, yeah. He was pretty desperate.
But by the
80s,
just to get a little bit
of that milkshake. Ronald, I'll make you feel good. Give me a little bit.
Here's a picture of him. He's got empty milkshake cups stuffed in his pockets in the front. He's got like 20 empty milkshake cups. He's holding a full milkshake in each hand. So,
Too
much to promote their milkshake.
437-968 UPS jobs text line. Gotta love the texters. She was early Birdie. She promoted McDonald's breakfasts. So Birdie was the breakfast person. She wasn't a self-hating chicken that was promoting chicken sandwiches. I had a feeling I was wrong about that. Oh, man.
Yeah. All right. That does make you uncomfortable a bit when companies pick certain mascots. Like, when Mark's Feed Store has those pigs up on the wall wearing like chef hats, there's a part of you that goes like, dudes, do you understand what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, they're all like happy and adorable and licking their lips, and I'm just like, guys.
Okay. I mean, really, you aware what's going on? Here comes cousin Bartholomew. You're getting ready to slap on the grill there, pal.
It's one of my favorite. Pearls Before Swine is hilarious. It's my favorite comic strip out there right now, and one of the characters is Pig, and he gets in trouble during the comics because he loves BLTs because they're delicious, and one of the titles of their anthologies is "But BLTs Taste So Darn Good," and it's Pig looking all sad while eating his sandwich of possibly a relative. I don't know. 437-968 UPS jobs text line. When I tell people I really like their hair, I'm asked to leave the premises, this texter says. It's not what you say, it's how you say it.
True. I think that's true. Yeah, like we have the place where I bank, the woman behind the counter has beautiful, like almost waist length hair. And I would like to compliment her on it, but I'm afraid then I'll have to go to jail. And I don't understand why that is. I mean, it's not like can I run my fingers through your hair, or I'd like to, nothing. I don't understand when we've lost the ability. We think nothing of saying the most disgustingly rude things to each other, but we can't just say something nice that clearly is not filtered in any kind of inappropriateness. It's just, you know, those are a beautiful pair of shoes. I mean, it's really weird how hard we make it to just say something courteous to you.
Dare I say a hidden superpower I have, and it's been a gift and a curse, but as Joey would say in Friends, it's a moot point right now because I'm spoken for with a lovely girlfriend who brought me coffee and lunch today. But I got no problem complimenting anybody. I feel like you just have to come across completely sexually non-threatening, and that is a gift I have had my entire life, trust me. You just got to be, I don't know, just not, don't be weird about it.
Here's a legitimate question, and it's good that you didn't, because, this is where I guarantee you, this is the difference between being Italian and non-Italian. We went to we went to the vet, and we were trying to take care of our cat, who we'd had for 16 years, who was the most affectionate cat in the history of man. I mean, unlike most cats, she was like a dog. She always wanted to cuddle and nuzzle, and so she's missed. And we didn't know she was as sick as she was. Yeah. But so we
R.I.P. Kiki. She was a real one.
Yeah, so we went to the vet, and it was becoming apparent that we were at the end, and we were going to have to put her to sleep. And that was, it really was not one of those, well, are we doing it too early? I had no idea. I mean, she was as far gone as she was. But the point I'm making is, as we were in there, and we hadn't yet made the decision about what to do with the cat, this older couple came out, and the woman was sobbing uncontrollably. Her husband, or whoever the significant other was walking a little bit ahead of her. And she was just wailing, saying, I knew this day was going to come, but I didn't know it was going to be today. And the dog was on the, you know, the dog obviously was no longer able to stand on his own. It was a big dog. And they were wheeling him away. So she had said goodbye to him and they were leaving and the dog hadn't been put down yet. And Nick said, I so badly wanted to just go give her a hug. And I thought that would have been the kindest thing in the world. And yet, I'm sure somebody might have said that was inappropriate because that poor woman was in tremendous pain.
Yeah, it felt really, really bad for her. That was a tough day. It was a tough couple of days. A lot of people saying goodbye to their friends.
It was tough.
That was rough. I don't want to just gloss over that because I felt really bad for those people. It was a rough day. We miss Kiki. But on a lighter note, 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. This is from a cruise planners. I don't know what this is, but occasionally
I could go for a cruise.
Occasionally numbers that I guess are sort of like if you get a phone call from somebody and the number might have been associated with somebody and it comes through a different way. You know what I mean? Like it could be your friend Ernie, but it used to be Stevenson and Stevenson Bakery. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And then the mm-hmm. number shows up as Stevenson and Stevenson Bakery, and you're like, oh, goody. And then it's your friend Ernie asking for your lawnmower, and you're pissed off. This text comes in as cruise planners. I don't know what that means. But he says, did you know that the original Ronald McDonald is retired and lives in Louisville? That's a hell of a thing I want us to do some research on.
I refuse to believe that.
Because we need to take a bottom of the hour break. Keep those texts coming in, 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Our buddy, the old spit bucket, Tim Sullivan, is going to join us on the other side of this bottom of the hour break. Mark Stoops press conference coming up at 2. And again, your texts, keep them coming in. There's a lot of good ones here. Give your pets a hug.
The very first Ronald McDonald was Willard Scott, who just passed away. So not only is he not living in Louisville, he's not living anywhere, evidently.
Oh, so I mean, yeah, but he used to live here, or the current Ronald McDonald. I don't know. I'm just going off the text line. But it's an interesting. I feel like that's one of those facts that seems conceivable. Why the hell not?
Well, now Michael Pola Coves was a circus clown. He performed in the U.S. under the name of Coco the Clown, a moniker that his father Nikolai had made famous in Europe, and he was from Riga, Latvia, and died in 2009 in Ashland, Kentucky.
Oh, there you go. So maybe that's,
that's what he's talking about. That could be it. But that's 11 years ago. So, the first Ronald McDonald came out in 1963. That's almost 60 years ago. There's a good chance whoever played Ronald at the beginning is gone to the great McDonald's in the sky. You know what I'm saying? I think that's probably true. You should see the picture of the first Ronald McDonald.
Was he terrifying? God.
Oh Lord, he looks like a mass murderer. He's got a paper cup for a nose. He's got his hair is not goofy and cute. He really looks like a killer. It says this particularly frightening image is one of the very first of an actor portraying Ronald McDonald, created in 1963, sporting a cup on his nose, carrying a tray in his hands and an additional food tray as his hat. Unorthodox is certainly the appropriate way of describing the character's earliest incarnation. This seriously, if you have a clown fetish thing, this will give you nightmares.
I think that's that's the opposite of a fetish. It's holy oh my God. Holy crap.
Ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution rests.
Early versions of Ronald McDonald were terrified. God.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a guy that likes hair and not in a good way. Good God. Wow.
You compare that with the new one now, and he's got the bright orange hair, and it's in a fro, and he's got a happy face. That first one is absolutely terrifying. Seriously, you put that near some little kids, and they're going to be, running through the glass around the little playground area. we got to get away from the sick man. All right, take a break. Back with more ESPN 680 105.7.
Miss anything from your favorite ESPN Louisville show? Check out the Podcast Center on the brand new ESPN Louisville smartphone app or on iTunes and SoundCloud.
You're locked on the V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
All right, we welcome you back into the program here on this Monday. Thanks for being with us. The old spit bucket, Tim Sullivan, is with us. Do we have him? Is he cleared for takeoff, or are you still trying to get him? All right. All right, well, while you do that, I will tell everybody, and I can relate to this, because I'll tell you, it makes for life a long, arduous slog if you're living with chronic pain. If you're tired of doing it, chronic pain, knee pain, joint pain, then listen carefully, because now there are new treatments available right here. Not talking surgery or steroids. These are regenerative treatments from the medical professionals at QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics is the leader in these exciting biologic therapies that help restore and repair the damaged tissue in your joints with lasting results. If you've got pain in your knees, shoulders, hip, or back, joint pain that won't go away, you need to check out these new treatments with astonishing patient satisfaction reports. They can actually help your body restore and repair itself with no downtime, no drugs, no surgery. So not just consistently trying to mask the pain. This helps your body basically regenerate those parts of the body and heal itself and repair itself and make the pain permanently go away. Call now to schedule your free consultation at QC Kinetics at 502-219-4636. If you're tired of dealing with joint pain and want to get moving again, you need to learn more about how these biologic therapies are changing the landscape in how we deal with joint pain. It's really cutting-edge, exciting stuff. Don't wait. Call today. QC Kinetics Louisville is at 502-219-4636. Call them today. The old spit bucket, Tim Sullivan, joins us right now. Tim, it was a rough day for the Cards in many ways, even though they won 30-3. What does that say, in a way? Are the expectations too high? People are so disgusted that unless something dramatic happens, they're going to still be unhappy. They had problems with the concessions, and there was a lot of things that had nothing to do with what went on the field. What did you take away from kind of the game and the reaction to the fans after that Saturday 30-3 win over Eastern?
Well, I didn't have to deal with the concessions, so I have sympathy because waiting in line is not one of my favorite things. But you know, as far as the football team's performance, you know, I thought it was about what you would expect. They were 30-point favorites. They would have covered if not for a very unfortunate drop at the goal line. You know, I don't think they dazzled anyone, but neither did they add a lot of fuel to the people who would like to have Scott Satterfield fired. But I think this week is a very big week with Central Florida coming in, and they're depending on which version of the odds you believe, they're either 7.5 or 19.5 point underdogs. And you know, I think this is a real test, and you know, the jury was out after the Ole Miss game. I think it's still out, and this game will have a lot to say about what people expect for the rest of the season going into ACC play.
You know, as you said, very easily could have covered the point spread, which, you know, probably counts for some. Somebody's probably gloomy because they lost a few shekels with that giveaway touchdown that they had, but. You know, part of the other thing is right now the game is played even at the college level and the highest level of college level like it's gotten to the NFL. They're throwing it all around the stadium, and Malik Cunningham still looks like his best weapon is his legs. Is some of the disillusionment, the fact that they haven't seen much progression as a passer? And I say, well, that may be true, but I mean, he's replacing like every receiver they had. They really haven't had any time to kind of get these guys, get their legs underneath them, and the schedule's not helping them here early with two nationally televised games against very good teams.
I think that's a part of it, but I don't know that all of that falls on Cunningham. I'm not sure that his offensive line is providing him the time to be a polished pocket passer. You know, I think that could be an issue going forward. But you know, you have a quarterback who's a tremendous athlete and is able to make plays with his legs. You know, he had two more touchdowns running on Saturday and one throwing, and should have had two. So, you know, I think statistically it was a pretty good night, but, you know, you have to consider the competition, and, you know, Eastern Kentucky is certainly outclassed physically. You know, there were an FBS team, Power Five, you would, you know, expect a lot more from them. But, you know, I think that the second half against Ole Miss provided some glimmer of hope that, you know, maybe they can be productive against better teams. But I'd like to see them do it in the first half when the game is still winnable. And that's, I think that's going to be the challenge Friday night.
Talking to Tim Sullivan here from the Courier-Journal on the V Show on ESPN 680-1057. As a former coach, I hesitate to go down this road because it is what 24/7 sports talk does. It makes it so that you slice and dice and bisect and dissect seemingly the most, arguably anyway, it may not be, but it's arguably the minutiae of what's going on. We had a caller earlier, and he wasn't the only one to say it, that, you know, Coach Satterfield's energy at the presser today was not very high. Didn't seem like it was really, you know, dialed into what they want to see. Do you sense anything like that? Is he feeling strain or stress, or is that just, again, sports talk fodder?
Well, I never attach very much to that. You know, there are all kinds of different personalities that have won in football. You know, you think of Bill Walsh. Was he a fiery, high-energy guy? I don't think of him that way. You know, there are other guys who've been very successful. You know, Bill Cowher comes to mind among recent coaches. But I think for the most part, Nick Saban is fairly low-key unless he wants to send a message to his players about how they're not taking some cream puff seriously. And, you know, there's all kinds of different ways to win. And fans seem to like the Cowher type, for want of a better comparison. And yet I don't see that as real meaningful. I mean, I think Satterfield's personality is pretty much what you see. He talks a lot, doesn't say a whole lot, like you know, a lot of coaches. He's verbal, but very guarded in what he shares. And I don't think that using that platform to inspire his team or his fans is his MO. So ultimately, he's going to be judged on how many games he wins, and not the energy he projects. But, you know, fans, it's Monday of a game week, and people want something to talk about.
Talking to Tim Sullivan, Courier Journal. He on Sundays, in Sunday's Courier Journal, on the front page of the sports section, there was a big piece that Tim wrote that I want to ask to amplify, if you will. Again, I know the writers don't write the headlines, but the headline is "Silence Could Be Costly for U of L," and you're talking about stiffer sanctions possible if NCAA concludes Louisville was slow in reporting infractions. What made you? Is there somebody you talked to that gave you reason to think that there may be meat on the bone with this? Because obviously, what it's alluding to is the fact that Dino talked to Chris, and that really, you know, some would say embarrassing exchange between the two of them. He was talking about specific allegations, and evidently there's some discussion that they didn't report them right away to the NCAA. And so did you get some information about this? Was this speculation on your part? What was a catalyst behind writing this particular piece?
Well, there are a couple of things that came into play. I had arranged an interview with a NCAA vice president, and I wanted to ask him a variety of questions related to U of L, knowing that he couldn't answer specific questions about U of L. So I gave him some scenarios and said, you know, what if this and what if that? And, you know, we knew that in that tape recording, Dino alludes to Christine Herring having raised questions about organized workouts in the summer. Christine Herring at the time was a senior women's administrator in the athletic department. If she had knowledge of violations and either didn't report them to Vince Tyree or compliance, that's an issue. If she did report them and they didn't act, that's a bigger issue. You know, we don't know exactly what she saw and what she shared. She declined to be interviewed by me, but it's my understanding she's talked to the NCAA. So I think, you know, that's a real key question going forward. If she or someone else was aware of infractions and didn't report them, that raises the stakes for potential sanctions. As the NCAA Derek Crawford said, it can turn a level 3 violation into a level 1. So I think, Louisville's already in a difficult situation because they were on probation when all this occurred. If there were infractions, however minor, the context doesn't look good. And if you exacerbate it by not reporting them promptly, it could be that much worse. I still think that the death penalty is off the table. I don't think the NCAA is likely to do that again, but I can't imagine that a school on probation that has another serious level 1 case, the Brian Bowen case, and then allegations from within of additional infractions, that's going to go over very well. And, I can't read the minds of the IARP panel. I'm not even sure who's on it at this point. But, if I read the manual correctly, this and listen to what I was told by the NCAA vice president, I think that this is a real issue.
Did he, in talking to the people that you said you were talking with and giving them hypotheticals, how much could you read between the lines about things that might apply to Louisville? Like, as some of the things you kind of hinted at already, but I mean, this is not just out of the blue. In other words, the fact of the matter is that they're already under the gun, so to speak. Does that mean they get closer scrutiny? They have less of a leash? Did he give you any reason to read between the lines about how that impacts any new investigations?
Well, I think what it appears is going to be the case is that they will get an amended notice of allegations, and that is going to set the clock back. So although the NCAA has said that they're near the finish of these investigations, I think we're likely to see another delay in the U of L case, because they're not going to create a fresh notice of allegations related to whatever they found in investigating Dino Gaudio's allegations, but they're going to fold it into the Bowen case. So a case that will be 4 years old by the end of the month is likely to go somewhat longer, and that could be months. So I think that was the primary takeaway. I don't know that I asked anything specific on how this penalty or another level 1 infraction would be viewed in the context of the previous one that had not the probation had not expired on. I'm referring to the Katina Powell Andre McGee case, but I think that the history is pretty clear that as in a court of law, a repeat offender is liable for more severe sanctions, and the possibility or the appearance that these latest violations were not reported promptly can only hurt their situation, but to what degree, what extent, I don't know, and he didn't speculate.
You've been here for the whole thing. Honestly, when this first started, did you think we would still be talking about this far into it? I mean, aren't you just astounded that it's just gone on and on and on?
Yeah, I am. I had an email from a reader who was taking me to task for my emphasis, I guess, on Louisville's issues as compared to Kentucky's, and I sent him a list of all of the things that had happened since I'd been here, and it's a pretty long list. You've got strippers in the dorm, you've got the Adidas bribery scandal, you've got a Hall of of Fame coach being fired. You've got a longtime athletic director being fired. Major donors withdrawing multi-million-dollar pledges. The extortion case, the Papa John scandal, two players shot at an off-campus party. Butch Beard asking to be disassociated from his alma mater. Complaints about minority hiring in the athletic department. And Bobby Petrino's $14 million buyout. And that's not the entire list. You know, I've been doing this for 45 years and in four different markets, and I've never seen anything like this, not on a sustained basis. I mean, I was at Cincinnati when the University of Cincinnati went on probation, and that was, you know, that was painful, and it set the program back, but eventually they recovered. And here, you just can't seem to, you know, get out of your own way. It's astounding.
Yeah, I when you started rattling those off, I was like, oh yeah. Oh my God, it has been a couple of steps, bonk, couple of steps, bonk, couple of steps, bonk, that kind of journey. So no question about that. We're at the top of the hour. I have to go or they yell at me. So Tim, take care of yourself. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure.
All right, Tim Sullivan from the Courier-Journal, and as I said, we're at the top, so we got to take a break on ESPN 680 1057.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.